Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good. And what a great and amazing God we have. You know, God could have created everything. He could have looked at what He created and said, well, that's pretty neat. I like the way that works. I like the way it's all come together. I think I did a good job. And let me go do something else, and just kind of forgot about us and went on his merry way and did kind of like we did with the Lego set. You know, we build our Legos and we put it all together, kind of set it off to the side and forget that it's there. Right, Daniel? Isn't that what you do? No? Oh, okay. He doesn't do that. Okay. But, you know, we get sidetracked sometimes. And we often do that with the Word of God. We'll look into the Word of God for a while and we'll get sidetracked and we'll go do something else and we won't think about it for a while. Well, God, praise the Lord, that never gets sidetracked. Amen. And He didn't just leave us to try and figure things out for ourselves. He didn't, you know, leave us to wonder about answers to questions that He knew we would have. He gave us this written Word to answer those questions. Amen. And He gave us this very detailed instruction manual. If you're going to live a successful life, here's how you do it. And He gives us instructions on how to handle this instruction manual we call the Word of God. Now this morning, we started by looking at the supernatural Word of God. And I told you this morning that how you perceive or how you understand the Word of God will impact how you handle the Word of God, what you do with it. It will impact your attitude concerning the Word of God. We looked at the supernatural Word of God this morning. We looked at the fact that the Word of God is the has been supernaturally preserved by God. We looked at its supernatural integrity. We looked at its supernatural interaction. We looked at its supernatural development. We looked at its supernatural power. We looked at its supernatural direction. We looked at its supernatural illumination. And all the things that God says in His Word about the Word of God. And those are just seven things. And there's much more that God says about the Word of God, but they all come down to those things. If you understand that this Bible was actually written and authored by God, granted it was penned by men. And some people will say, well, that book was written by men about God. No, it was penned by men indeed, but they were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And they wrote the Word of God for us. Now, if somebody were to ever sit down and read the Word of God, the Bible, it wouldn't take them long to realize this is an absolutely unique book. There's not another work on the face of the earth like it. You take this Bible, this Word of God, and you start comparing it to other religious or holy books around the world, and you start reading those holy books, for instance, the Quran. You start reading the Quran, and you almost, on each page, you realize why this is contradicting the page before, and this is contradicting that, and it just is not like, there's nothing in comparison between the Quran and the Bible. I mean, it's very obvious that the Quran was written by a man and has men's opinions in it, men's understanding and guidance in it. And it's certainly not a light, in my opinion. But the Word of God is different. It never contradicts itself. It always harmonizes with itself. It's an amazing work. And it has to come from God. Only the mind of God could have written the Word of God. So we looked at the supernatural nature of the Word of God. Tonight we're going to look at, if you understand the supernatural nature of the Word of God, we're going to look at, first of all, what you should do with this Word of God that God has given us as God reveals it in His Word. Turn in your Bible to James chapter 1 and look for verse 25. We might actually go back and start reading at verse 22, but our emphasis tonight is going to be verses 25 and 26. James chapter 1, go back to verse 22. James chapter 1 and verse 22, if you'll please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You may be seated. And let's pray. Lord, we love you and praise you and we thank you for this day and thank you for your word and all that's revealed in your word about your word. Lord, let your word be tender, be magnificent to us, Lord. Help our hearts to be tender toward your word, that we would have an enduring, deepening desire for your word moment by moment, day by day. Lord, help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness in your word. Now bless us and guide us as we look into your word. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, what do we do with this supernatural word of God? Well, the very first thing we need to do, we find there in verse 25. Actually, what we need to do with the Word of God, and I believe I've got four things that we need to do with the Word of God, are all contained in verse 25. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. We need to look into the Word of God. Now, to look into the Word of God, what does that mean? It means we need to read the Word of God. We need to be in it. We simply need to read it. We need to be looking into the Word of God. John Newton once said, I know not a better rule of reading the Scripture than to read it through from beginning to end, and when we have finished it once, to begin it again. I say this, and I've said this many times, I believe every Christian should read his Bible through over and over and over again. And I mean just simply read it. I'm not talking about sitting there and studying it and memorizing every single word of the Bible, but I tell you that if you will read through your Bible year by year, over and over and over and over again, over the course of time, you will become so familiar with your Bible, you may not have every verse and reference memorized, but when somebody says something and claims it's from the Bible, you'll just know whether or not that's really in the Bible or not. Somebody tell me one time, you know, the Bible says that cleanliness is next to godliness. Is that in the Bible? No, it is not. I looked at him and said, I'm sorry, that's not in the Bible. And they going back to the concordance and they're looking for words. And I'm telling you, it's not in there. I know it's in there. You know, that might be something your grandma said to you, but that's not in the Bible. Had another person tell me one time, you know, the Bible says that in the end times you won't be able to tell one season from another. Is that in the Bible? No, it's not. It's not. As a matter of fact, the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible literally says that that there will always be seed time and harvest. There will always be summer and winter. Always. These global warming folks, you know, saying that we're gonna lose winter before long. No, it's not gonna happen. Why? Because God said it's not gonna happen. There will always be seed time and harvest. There will always be summer and winter. That's the Word of God. And if there's one thing that I can put my trust in, it's the faithfulness of God in the preservation and integrity of His Word. God is immutable. He never changes. People say, well, what about all this climate change we see around us? Don't you see how mankind is changing our environment? I look at him and say, you know, the Bible tells us why there's all this climate change that you're referring to. Why were there fires, wildfires down there in Tennessee? Why are there droughts in some places of the United States and plenty of rain in other places of the United States? Why is all of that happening? Why are there earthquakes? And why are all these natural disasters happening? God says it's judgment. All the things that you list, you go back and you look in the book of Amos and you read through there, and all of those things are listed in that list of judgments. The pestilence. He said it'd be drought in one place and rain in another place, so the people will leave one place and go to the other place seeking water. It's all written right there in the Word of God. But you know what? What most people do is that they'll read the Bible every day, but they'll read their favorite passages. I had one lady said, you know how I read the Bible, Pastor? I set it on my table and I let it fall open. And wherever it opens, that's where I start reading. And I said, and what do you read? About 6 different passages in the Bible? She said, what do you mean? Well, because your binding will get to a point where it just opens to natural places. And I said, what happens is that when you set your Bible down and it opens to those 6 or 7 places all the time. And what you're doing is you're reading the parts of the Bible you want to read, but you're missing everything else in between. It's just like John Newton said, that the best way to read the Bible is from one cover to the other cover. To read every single word. Jesus said, every word of God is pure. Every single word in the Bible matters. Now I have to grant that when you get to 1 Chronicles and you're doing the begats, sometimes you're a little task there for that 10 or 12 chapters of begats and begots. Preacher said, every word matters in the Bible, but I'm not sure, Lord, why I need to read these names that are so difficult to read. I'll tell you what, if you'll pronounce each of those names phonetically, it'll help you in your pronunciation of scriptural things immensely. I don't know what God might be doing in the Chronicles. Well, I do know. He's showing us the genealogy all the way up to Christ. He's fulfilling His covenant and His promises. But I have to admit, it does get a little monotonous. But I got to ask you, are you going to skip those chapters just because I don't want to read those this time, Lord? No. You need to read the Word of God, and you need to read it all. You know, if you'll skip those chapters in Chronicles, there will be some other chapters that you'll skip over too. Before you know it, you're only reading your favorite places in the Bible. Before you know it, there's whole sections of the Bible you don't know anything about. We need to read the whole of the Word of God. You just need to read it. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that reading the Bible is the surface. It's just getting started. But it's important that we read the Bible, that we read it all. We need to read the whole of the Word of God. I suggest you read the whole Bible through in a year. Now, some of you are saying, I'm not going to commit that kind of time, preacher, to read the whole Bible through in a year. If you won't do that, I'll negotiate with you. Why don't you read the Old Testament this year and the New Testament next year? And just alternate back and forth. Take that reading plan and read the Old Testament 1 year and the New Testament the next year. Okay, you've cut your time down some. It takes you a whole lot less time to read the New Testament than the Old Testament. If you're going to read the whole Old Testament, I did the math a few years ago, it's something like 66 or 68 verses a day you have to read of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in many places, you'll read a portion of a chapter. You can read a whole chapter in the New Testament in about 6 minutes. So if you have to read a portion, you're talking 3 or 4 minutes. It's not really a big commitment to just read through your Bible. But you need to read your Bible through and through and through and through and through. When you finish it, as I say to everybody, you know, if you only read the New Testament, if you don't want to delve into the Old Testament, you don't want to make that kind of commitment, then when you finish the New Testament, what you need to do is you need to go back to Matthew chapter 1 again and you need to read it again.
When you finish it, you need to start in Matthew chapter 1 and you need to read it again. Well, preacher, if I've already read it, if I've read it three times, why do I need to keep reading it? Trust me, you need to keep reading it. But here's the thing. If I have to pull your teeth, per se, to get you to read the Bible, if you'll only read the Bible because Pastor Walt says, I need to read the Bible, so I'm going to read it. I don't really want to read it, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to tell you right now, that speaks to your attitude and you'll get nothing out of it. And I have people come to me sometimes and say, when I read the Bible, preacher, I don't get anything out of it. It's because you're not reading it to get fed. You're reading it because somebody told you to read it. And there's a difference. But if when you get ready to read your Bible, you bow your head and say, Lord, I believe this is your word. And I believe you want to speak to me through your word. So today, as I read the Bible, help my heart and my mind to be open. And let me listen to your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, speak to me through this Bible passage. I guarantee you it'll change the way you read the Bible. It'll change what you get out of the Bible. How precious is this Bible to you? If you were, the Bible refers to itself as your milk and your meat. That's your food and your drink. Let's say if you were to just stop eating tomorrow because it was just too much work to eat. So you just stop eating and you stop drinking and you just kind of sit there on your living room sofa. Maybe you get up and you go out and do something, but you're not eating anything because it's too much work to eat. How long do you think you could go without eating? Most of us, about 2.5 hours. Some of us, we go without coffee for 2.5 hours and we have such a headache we can't hardly stand to breathe. That caffeine, whatever that you go through. I drink a lot of coffee, so I know that happens. You get that caffeine headache. Some people, you know, you talk about fasting, doing a 1 day fast, doing a 2 day fast or a 3 day fast. And preacher, you know, we are Baptists. We are Baptists. We do like to eat. But I got to tell you, it's no different for your spirit than it is for your body. You stop reading the Word of God, you're not feeding your spirit. And let me tell you what happens. That piece of paper that you sign up on, you get tepid. That means you get sickly. You get spiritually sick. And you can get so used to being spiritually sick that you don't even realize you're spiritually sick anymore. Folks, you need the Word of God. It is your spiritual milk. It is your spiritual meat. You need to be hungry for it. So you need to read the Word of God. Look into this perfect law of liberty. By the way, I love that perfect law of liberty. The Word of God is perfect. And it is the perfect law of liberty. Oh, you need to be looking into the Word of God. You need to be reading it. So that's the first thing you need to be doing with the Word of God. The second thing you need to be doing, it goes on to say, and continue therein. That means remain in the Word of God. So you need to read the Word of God, and you need to remain in the Word of God. So what does continue in the Word of God imply to us? It means you need to be studying the Word of God. As you're reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, if you're attuned to Him, will be moving in your heart. And there may be passages. You come across a passage, maybe not every day, but every now and again, the Holy Spirit will just kind of give you a little prick in the heart and you'll go, oh, those verses are very interesting. You don't stop right there and start doing a study. You don't start looking up the cross references and stuff. What you do is you take your little notepad and you write down those verses. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I want to study that verse. And you put that on your passages to study list. And then you come back. You go ahead and finish your Bible reading. And then you set a time each week when you're going to study the Bible. You commit a little bit of time each week to studying the Word of God, to digging into the Word of God, to remaining in the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. This is what you'll be doing as you're remaining in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Listen, if you're going to rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to have to study it. So you take that verse that God gave you an interest in, that God pricked your heart in, and you go back and you look that verse up and you start studying it. You start digging into it. You look up everything you can look up on that verse. You read other Bible passages that might enlighten you about that verse. And you study that verse. You go wherever God leads you with that verse. To study the Word of God is to remain in the Word of God. That's to continue in the Word of God. Here's another quote I kind of skipped over. President John Adams, in a letter to his son, wrote, "I have myself for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year. I have always endeavored to read it with the same spirit and temper of mind which I now recommend to you. That is, with the intention and desire that it contribute to my advancement in wisdom and virtue. My custom is to read for 4 or 5 chapters every morning, immediately after rising from my bed. It employs about an hour of my time, and seems to me the most suitable manner of beginning the day." How about that? President John Adams. There you go. Counsel from a president. All right, so we need to be reading the Word of God, and we need to be remaining in the Word of God. We need to continue in that perfect law of liberty. The third thing that the Bible tells us we need to be doing with the Word says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," that's to read your Bible, "and continueth therein," that's to study your Bible, "he being not a" what? What's that say?
Forgetful.
Not a forgetful hearer. Everybody say that, forgetful hearer. Don't be a forgetful hearer. What is that? That is to remember the Word of God. Where am I going with this? Well, that is to memorize the Word of God. Psalms 119 verses 9 through 11 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." We need to memorize the Word of God. We need to take some of those scriptures and we need to hide them right here in our heart. And I'll tell you what, when you memorize it, does that mean just to do like the kids do in Awana and just brutally be able to quote the verses? What's the purpose in memorizing the Word of God? It's so that you can meditate on the Word of God. You ought to be thinking about those verses. You ought to be meditating on it. You ought to be talking to God about those verses. Driving down the road on your way to work, "Lord, this phrase in this verse, wow, what a great verse. Lord, help me to understand this verse in a life application. Lord, help this verse to come alive in me." And you're just meditating and thinking on that verse. George Mueller once said, "I saw the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation on it. What is the food of the inner man? Not prayer, but the Word of God. And not the simple reading of the Word of God, so that it only passes through our minds just as water runs through a pipe, but considering what we read, pondering over it, and applying it to our hearts." How about that? How is the Word of God to you? Is it like water running through a pipe? Or are you pondering the Word of God? Are you, shall we say, chewing the cud of that spiritual feast? Are you just over and over and over going over that verse, thinking about it, meditating on it? Letting God move in you in the Word of God. If that is the intimacy of the Word of God.
So we need to read the Word of God. We need to remain in the Word of God. We need to remember the Word of God. And then our verse goes on to say, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." A doer, what is that? Well, I couldn't think of an R word. So I'm sorry, I'm just going to have to go with obey the Word of God. You just have to obey it. You need to be a doer of the Word of God. You need to heed the Word of God. When God tells you to do something, when God says something in His Word, you need to try and make that a part of your life. You need to try and do it. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus said again in John 14, verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and the Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." When God says in the Word of God, "Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth," it means that you take that verse and you apply it to your vocabulary, and you strive to be sure that no corrupt communication proceeds from your mouth. Now, what is corrupt communication? It's the communication that 90% of the people use day by day when they're not around a preacher. We all know those people. We go to work and we hear them cursing and cussing their way through the day, using God's name in vain, telling those nasty, dirty jokes, talking harmfully about people. That's corrupt communication. God says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how to answer every man." That's what the counsel of God says. We'll heed that. We'll try to make sure that our words are always speaking grace, even to those who don't deserve it, even to our enemies, even to those who would talk ill of us, even those who would ridicule us and mock us. We would take the Word of God and we would make it a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen? We need to obey the Word of God. So we need to read the Word of God. We need to remain in the Word of God. We need to remember the Word of God. We need to obey the Word of God. And lastly, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about our attitude toward the will of God. Now, you can do everything that verse 25 here says that you need to do in the Word of God because you just know the Bible says to do it. And it'll be very mechanical to you. You'll start the year striving to read through the Word of God. And you'll read through a month, maybe 2 months, maybe even 3 months. You might even make it 4 months. But because you were just trying to do it because, well, the preacher said I ought to be doing this, and he showed me in the Bible I ought to be doing this. But deep down inside, you're saying to yourself, "I don't really want to do this." You're not going to last very long at it. You see, parents, we need to work very hard to nurture in our children a love for the Word of God, a desire for it. They're not reading the Bible just because we make them read it. That they long for it. They want it for themselves. I tell you what, when you realize that Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, seeks to speak to you through this Bible, not in a mechanical religious way, He really wants to touch your heart. He really wants to touch your mind. He really wants to help you and He wants to shape you. Boy, if you really understand it, if you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to come and to die on Calvary's cross for your sins, to break His body in your place and to shed the blood of God to wash your sins away, a man that loved you that much is reaching out to you through this Bible, that ought to change the way you approach it. What is your attitude? What is your heart concerning the Word of God? Do you love it? Do you long for it? Because it makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference. God said, "You will search for me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart." What does He mean by that? He means when you really want to find me. When you really want to be close to God, when you really want to know the God of all creation, when you really want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when you search after Him and you start longing for Him, that's when you'll find Him. And I'll tell you what, where do you find Him? You find Him right here in these pages. To long after the Lord Jesus Christ is to long after the Word of God. I've got to ask you, Christian, what is your attitude toward the Word of God? Turn over to 1 John chapter 5 and look for verse 2. 1 John chapter 5 in verse 2. In your attitude toward the Word of God, the very first thing you need to have is a willing surrender. You need to be willing to come to the Word of God and say, God, I know that You are right and I am wrong. And I am willing to surrender to You and to the things that You show me in the Word. And I'll tell you how I pray this sometimes. God, I know I'm pretty hard-headed. And I know I've read through this Bible 25, 26 times. And Lord, I know that in those 26 times, there were times that You were trying to say something to me that I was too hard-headed to see. I ask You to help me to see it. And I ask You not only to help me to see it, but I ask You to help me to heed it. I ask You to help me to surrender to it. Because God, I really do. I really want, I really long to be what You want me to be. Help me. Help me as I read. Help me as I seek You. And He'll help you. But it's all in your attitude. Do you really long after Him? 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and what? Keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we what? Keep His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now look at this last phrase. And His commandments are not what?
Grievous.
You know what that means? It means that when God tells you to do something, that it's not painful to you to think about doing what God asks you to do. That you aren't doing it as a 2-year-old would lay on the floor and stomp his feet and pound his hands. Now, maybe we don't lay on the floor and have a tantrum, but some of us have a spiritual tantrum inside. God, I see that in the Word of God. I'm not doing it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm a man or I'm a woman. I'm an American. I'm independent. I'm just not going to do it. I tell you what, your attitude when you come to the Word of God makes all the difference. And I trust me, you can hide your attitude from me. You can hide your attitude from fellow church members. You can hide your attitude from your family. But I tell you, God looks in the heart. He looks in your heart. And He responds to your heart. God will never force Himself on you. If there's one thing God will do, He will honor your will. And if your will is, God, I'm going to do it my way, He'll let you. He will let you. The right attitude and developing the right attitude as you approach the Word of God, there must be a willing surrender. The Word of God cannot be grievous to you. You need to be longing for this Word of God. Now, we looked at this verse this morning. We're going to look at it again. The second part that I have here in our attitude toward the Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. God's Word should not be grievous to us. We need to have a willing surrender in our attitude. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 gives us the second aspect that I think is critically important as we approach the Word of God. The second part of our attitude. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes, what's that next word? Say it louder. Say it louder. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Desire, that is the key word in that verse. Desire. Do you hunger and thirst for the Word of God? Do you really long for it? Do you desire it? Do you really want it? You got to desire the Word of God. And when my kids were living at home, I made them read through the Bible with me. 1 year they'd read the Old Testament with me. The next year they'd read the New Testament. I made them do that because I was the father of the home, and the Bible tells me to bring up my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they needed to be in the Bible. So my kids read the Bible a number of times before they ever left my house. We would take turns reading. Each child would read five verses, whatever passage we were in. Five verses, five verses, five. Why did I do that? Because it kept them paying attention. But you know what? My kids know they've read the Bible. They know a lot about what's in the Bible because they've read the Bible through a number of times. Their daddy was a preacher. They were in church. They had a drug problem. They were drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I'm to tell you what, my kids didn't get to stay out of church because they had a headache. If they didn't have a temperature, they went to church. Interesting thing, though, and I said this to them. We were talking about, I can't remember what we were talking about. We were talking about people who were Christians and that I thought were probably actually lost. I didn't name anybody, but I was talking about the fact that probably 50% of the people that were in churches were not saved. And they said, well, we're Christians because we read the Bible and we go to church all the time. We're Christians. And I looked at him and said, you live the Christian life because I make you live the Christian life. When you get to be 18 and you move out of this house, that's when you'll reveal who you really are. When you have the choice of reading the Bible because you desire it, or you don't read it because you never did desire it. When you have the choice of going to church because you realize that the church is the body of Jesus Christ, or you stop going to church because it doesn't mean anything to you. That's when you'll reveal who you are. And that's how it is for many Christian children. Well, they've said the sinner's prayer. They know the answers if you start talking to them about the gospel. They know the answers. They've probably been baptized. But why are they doing it? I've met parents who said, you know, I don't want to force my kids to go to church and I don't want to force my kids to read the Bible. I believe you're making a huge mistake. Because a child has to be guided. But the truth is that they have to desire it. They have to learn to desire it. And that's the difficulty. That's the challenge in a parent, is bringing your child to a point where they realize that they ought to be desiring the things of God for themselves. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to go from, because a parent should never, a parent has a responsibility in the sight of God to make sure their child is brought up the right way, in the way they should go, not in the way they want to go. Bring up your child in the way they should go. And when they are old, they won't depart from it, is what the verse says. Hopefully they come back to that. But a lot of them, they do what they do because the parents taught them, enforced that on them. Christian, it shouldn't be that way for you. You ought to be desiring the Word of God. You ought to be hungry for the Word of God. See, there needs to be a willing surrender and there needs to be a wholesome desire. You ought to be longing for the Word of God. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is He talking about? Where do you find righteousness? It's right here. It's in the Word of God. This is where you find right from wrong. This is where you find the knowledge and the wisdom of God. This is where you draw closer to God. This is hungering and thirst for righteousness. You ought to hunger and thirst for the Word of God. Is that desire in you? Now, if somebody were to look at me and say, preacher, I don't really want to read the Bible, but should I read the Bible? You want to know what I'd say to them? Yeah, read the Bible. If you won't do it because you want to, you do it because Pastor Walt told you to. At least that way, when I stand in front of God, God can look at me and say, you told him right. You told him to read the Bible. But I will tell them, you need to change that desire. You need to change that desire. You shouldn't be reading the Bible just because I tell you to. But I think you have a lot better chance of changing your desire while you're in the Word of God than when you're out of the Word of God.
Because I believe the Word of God is alive and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It quickens. It brings to life. But you ought to hunger and thirst for the Word of God. So I got to ask you, what do you believe about this Bible? Is it the supernatural Word of God? Do you believe God has perfectly preserved this Bible? That it's every dot on every I and every cross on every T is still there and it's still of God?
Amen.
Do you believe that this is the Word of God that builds your faith and grows faith in you? Do you believe that this is the Word of God that the Holy Spirit moves in you and He enlightens this Word and He teaches you, yea, the deep things of God, and He teaches you how to walk with God and He transforms you through the pages and what's written on this Bible? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this Word of God? Are you going to take this home and say, this is the supernatural Word of God. I believe it. I believe it all. And oh boy, it's got this hallowed place in my house. And it's going to sit right there on that. And I'll pick it up every Sunday. And I'll take it to church. So the preacher sees me carry it in there. And I'll take it home and I'll put it right back down there. Oh, that is so supernatural and so precious. Don't touch it! What are you going to do with it? Christian, what are you doing with it? I've got to ask you, what have you been doing with the Word of God this last week? Have you been reading it? Or this last year, have you been reading it? Did you read it all the way through? What have you done with it? If you've been in your Bible, boy, as your pastor, I praise the Lord for you. Stay in the Bible. Stay in it. But I challenge you, if you haven't been reading your Bible, I challenge you to get in your Bible every single day. Get in your Bible. And if you're not, ask yourself, why not? Why aren't you hungry for the Word of God? Because you should be. What do I do if I'm not hungry for the Word of God, preacher? I'll tell you what you do. You get on your knees and you say, God, make me hungry for Your Word. I believe that's a prayer God will answer. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love You and we praise You. I thank You for Your people. I believe I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I believe this is a sermon of reminder for the people of Crossroads Baptist Church that are here tonight. But I believe there are probably members in our church who are so discouraged they haven't read their Bible in a long time. Maybe they weren't even in church today. And oh Lord, I pray that You would stir such a desire in us for Your Word and such a hunger for Your Word that they would see that desire in us and that they would soon realize that what we have in us in desire for Your Word, they need to have in them. I pray You would awaken each and every member of this church. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to use the Word to convince the lost to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that the Word of God would come alive in their hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would be awakened across America, that people would stop playing church, and America would return to Your Word again. Lord, I believe it's very close to the end. And I believe as long as we're here, it's not too late. Bring people who call themselves Christian, many of them who may be Christians, bring them back to the Word of God. Now bless us and guide us as we close this service. Guide us during this brief invitation. If somebody needs to come forward for any reason, we invite them to come. Holy Spirit, have Your way. Lord God, move in this place. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.